Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, also Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer. Where
iTunes.
Else? Oh, iTunes. Well, that's Apple. Did I say that? Google. Mm-hmm. We're on everything. Well, if you're listening to this, you know where we're on. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And talking to me, she's going to hate this. I'm going to flip this right around.
Oh, here we go. Hi.
As beautiful as she is, she doesn't want to be on camera, but there she is. Everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, Hannah Bach.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Woo. She just came from the dentist.
I did.
This is
tortured.
Very rough.
Mm-hmm.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
The teeth look good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Smile. No cavities.
Yeah, see? Look at that. And then, well, we got two returning guests, two of our favorites.
Yes.
Actually, last time I'm sorry?
I was absent one time, wasn't I?
No. You were here for both these guests and you forgot. Because I remember when you met our first guest, and I'm going to turn the camera down, there were two words that you used, which were elegant and sexy.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes,
yes,
I did.
That's...
Did I bring my cat that day?
No, you were yourself.
Me?
Yes.
So sweet.
Elegant and sexy sex therapist.
I'm actually not a therapist. I made that mistake again. It happens all the time.
You're a sex expert.
I'm trained as an educator and a coach.
Okay. Educator, coach.
And if I want to go into debt again, I will for sure become a therapist.
Right. And your dream...
I also work with people's dreams, yeah.
We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. And now Ron Jeremy's not going to bust in the door, so it'll be good. That's an Ann Hodder ship.
He's lovely. I've known him for a long time, but it was a little, you know, it's always... He's the star of the show when he's in the room, right. You know? So mm-hmm.
That's when you were the queen of sex toys.
It was. I mean, yes. I feel like I still have that crown, just, you know,
right.
In a different way.
Right. Well, I don't know about that because next to you, she doesn't have a degree, but I'm telling you, she is a sex expert.
Yes,
and we're going to compare knowledge between the two of you. This is a comedian extraordinaire.
Hey,
that's
everybody.
Angie Crumb. You didn't even wait for me to introduce you.
You know me.
Yes, and she's going to start a showcase the same night that I have my show, which is always great.
Really?
At Club Bahia. On April 27th, correct?
Yes, we're starting our showcases on April 27th, but then from there they're switching to the second Saturdays, so maybe they won't conflict.
No, that's okay. I mean, if you don't go to my show, go to your show. But
exactly.
You know, I've got a strong man and
if you
mentors.
Don't go to my
and
show,
sorts.
Go to his show.
Yeah, so L.A., there's all sorts of things that you can do, and so I don't, and it's going to be a Sophie's choice for Hannah, because... She loves Angie. Last time I talked to you, I mean, I see you at your open mic. Last time you saw her was at her roast.
Yes. It was your birthday.
It was my birthday. Yeah.
Birthday roast, and I ripped you a new one.
Yeah, it was funny.
I loved it. You know what? Every time people roast me, I'm like, there is no ceiling. I'm like, please, I would like it if somebody would hurt my feelings. And I know that sounds weird.
Make me feel something.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm like, of course, I know you're trying to just be nice in some ways. I'm like, but just rip the Band-Aid off and say whatever in the hell you think you mm-hmm. want to say. And so I've been roasted twice, and nobody has ever...
People are shockingly nice.
Yeah.
I put the gloves off, but before me, I think everybody else was very... I mean, you weren't offended at anything, but...
And that's the thing. I'm like, I want to be offended, you know? I'm just wondering where my cap is, and I don't think I have one anymore.
It was a nice roast, but...
It was a nice roast.
Yes, there's a lot of talk about your vagina, but we'll...
There always is.
Well, actually, that's because the roast was held in your vagina, but...
Yes, that's
anyway,
true.
Anyway...
And there was a cover charge.
Obviously. No,
that's the old
standing
one.
Standing room only.
Am I in the shot, Angie? I think so.
Yes, you are.
Okay, good. Because I got to
You're
my...
cutting off your mouth, though.
Oh.
I mean, it's
probably for the
fine.
Best. Probably
yeah,
the
there
best.
You go. You're perfect.
Okay, well, aren't I? But I wanted to talk about our sponsors real quick, and then we'll talk about sex. That's what we're going to talk about all night. Anna.
All right.
Woo!
Sex. As uncomfortable as it makes you feel.
Oh, I got some DMs. They're like, so the show's going to be about sex this week. I'll be listening.
I had people say that to me too. They're
really?
Like, "Oh, when can I tune in? I want to hear about this sex talk."
Zero people DM'd me.
Well, it's funny because it's my
show. I'm not complaining.
They will tomorrow.
It's my show, and I got zero DMs too. So everybody wants to know about Hannah and Angie's sex life. Apparently,
fine with me.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I'll tell you what. If you want to read about sex, go to Audible. Audible has so many smutty books.
Love it.
Oh, I'm telling you, Sasha Gray was one of our guests, and she has the she wrote an erotic novel, The Juliet Society. She 8 hours of Sasha Gray talking smut. That's free.
Wow.
Free smut.
A lot of S&M books, a lot of all sorts of, you know, anything from 50 Shades of Grey or something that really will give you What the hell happened?
That just shut off.
Yeah, we'll go ahead. Anyway, so we've got, it's all right.
It censors itself, I guess.
Probably, yeah. I said 50 Shades of Grey and it shut off.
Overload.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, hold on. Anyway, as I'm trying to get the camera working, there we go.
Go to Audible. It's a step up from Pornhub.
It is a step up from Pornhub because you imagine. Am I
yes.
In front? Yeah, yes, you're imagining things.
That's true.
Also, if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, not only do you get a book, you get two Audible originals.
Nice.
What cool. are the Audible originals you get? How about John Waters reading a sci-fi novel?
There you
That's
go.
A good Audible original.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart interviewing new comics like Will Ferrell, Sarah Silverman. Well, compared to him, they're new.
Yeah.
And there's a continuation of the Alien saga with Rutger Hauer as one of the voices. You can get whatever you want, any book. Any two Audible originals and a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. That's all free. Cancel the next day. You keep all that audio. I'm driving to Vegas next month. I'm going to be loading up in audiobooks.
Smart.
Nice.
Go.
Yep.
And if you're in L.A., you guys aren't vegan. We already went through this.
No. Nope.
But you don't have to be. Go to Do Me Some Cooking.
Oh, I've heard about this place.
It's yes. Yummy. It's the best vegan food you ever had.
Yeah. You can nice. Either have Mexican okay. or you can have burgers.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you like pulled pork sandwiches. You like chicken parmesan. You like shrimp po' boys, right?
Oh, yeah.
You like flautas. You like wet burritos.
Yeah.
Nachos.
Yeah.
They got it all.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
They got it all. And
well,
you
I've
would
eaten
never
vegan
know.
Before, yeah, and it's delicious.
You've never eaten vegan like this.
Really?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Do they have desserts,
well,
too?
Oh,
oh do they have desserts? Hannah, I'm going to have to put the camera on you.
Vegan desserts are the best thing I have ever
desserts.
Tasted.
They do. They have deep fried Oreos, which they gave me when I went there for my birthday. And thank you again. They have the best carrot cake. My grandpa loves carrot cake.
Oh,
he's,
nice.
You know, he's pretty picky and he loves their carrot cake. They give you a huge slice.
Oh, I love it.
Fudge
love
brownies,
it.
Chocolate cake, pumpkin mm-hmm. pie.
Yep.
Oh,
they God. Have a caramel cake and, yeah.
Vegan desserts are so delicious.
Well, and they're baked by Das Baker, which is a play on the goth club Das Bunker.
Oh, okay.
So,
cute.
Not anything else that begins with Das. So if you go to 1253 Vine Street in Hollywood, they're open until 3 in the morning on weekends.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a new place in Culver City and Toronto, Canada. So.
Okay, wow. Very
okay.
cool.
So now we're going to talk about sex. And, before we do, one more thing, because I did want to thank the folks at iTunes Shuffle. I'm all over Podcast Mania.
Ooh,
Maggie good. Mayfield put me on iTunes Shuffle, where I talked about 5 of my favorite songs and the stories of my life. It was great.
Huh,
nice.
Big, good feedback on that. I got a lot more feedback on that than I do for this show. And then I was also, Marnie the Wing Girl put me on Ask Women podcast. Thank you for that. Hopefully we'll get you on that podcast. But
yeah, next week.
Oh, you're going on next week? Mm-hmm. Great. Because hopefully they're nicer to you than they were to me.
Oh, no.
Well, I say maybe I should just read verbatim from the Spotify description. We have my friend, comedian, and podcast host, Dark Mark, on the show to discuss if and when you should change yourself for women. Mark has not been very successful with women, and the reason is because he simply doesn't have sex appeal.
No.
Wow.
He said that?
She said that.
Oh, I'm not into that at all.
No.
Yeah, that's not very good.
I have some sex appeal.
No,
I have
no one,
to.
No one else gets to decide if someone else has sex appeal. Like, that's
I agree
literally
with you.
Not
true.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
And it's not true.
I think it's a little. I mean, obviously, I'm a comedian. They're jesting a little bit. I don't think they're really serious.
Hopefully.
And I think they wanted me to joke back. I got it. But
yeah, hopefully,
everybody's got some sex appeal, don't they?
I think
we're all literally inherently sexy. It's science. We're born with sexuality. It just develops according to how we grow up. And
I
so,
agree
like,
with
no
that.
One, even if that means you're asexual, that's how mm-hmm. it presents. But nobody else. I mean. I take everything like that very seriously because I work with clients who genuinely believe what people tell them about
right.
whether or not they're worth something sexually.
Yeah.
And so I don't find that funny. It causes people to hate themselves and think that they're valueless.
Well,
that's sad. No, it makes
don't,
me sad.
Marnie's great. She's going to be on back on the show.
Well, it's no judgment of her. I have empathy toward you. I just,
That's why I said it, because I want empathy
and
from
a comment,
all of you.
Well,
comment,
you have so much of it.
Yes.
A comment like that is better said in a situation like this, but to say it on something like that, people don't understand where she's coming from.
Right.
But I agree with you. It's like, I think everybody is sexy in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beauty's
mm-hmm.
in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So
this is the first question I have for both of you. Now, how did you both become so sexually confident?
Yeah, good question.
Angie might be the most sexually confident person I know. And you have been around sex your whole life, so obviously there's a certain amount of confidence with you.
Sure.
How did you become so sexually confident?
It's not her turn?
It's her turn. Yes, I'm sorry. Right. Go ahead.
You know, it's one of those things where I grew up being very shy. I was very,
everybody
very shy.
Says this shit.
I was
come
really
on.
Shy. If the opposite sex was in the room, I would clam up. I wouldn't even speak to them.
You mean men?
I just had, yeah. It's like, okay. What do you think?
There's like a three.
I guess.
There's like 38 genders now. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Well, back then there was only two.
Yes.
So.
Well, actually, I think.
Well, that people talked about.
Yeah. The small town I grew up in
has existed since the dawn of time.
Well, the small town I grew up in, there probably still is only two. Anyway, so, but I mean, it's like, I just grew up with no confidence. I just, you know, the environment I was raised around was not very, didn't give me any confidence in any way. So when I turned 18, graduated high school, I went to beauty school of all things, you know, and I've been doing hair for 22 mm-hmm. years, but something about getting a trade under my belt that I was good at, that gave me confidence. And then from there, it gave me confidence to speak to the opposite sex. And then from there, just by trial and error and experience, I became sexually confident. The other thing, too, is I threw myself in the deep end with the opposite sex so quickly that I wanted to get rejection out of my system to the point that when I got rejected, because it used to be when I got rejected, it would crush me. Mm-hmm. But then it got to the point where if people rejected me, I'm like, well, it's your loss. You know, so it's just something that just happens as you get older and you grow, you know. But I mean, I reached that probably by the time I was like 21 or 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at that point I was still a virgin, but.
Me too. I was a virgin until I was 20. Let's not knock 24. You know, right?
That's where we left off on the last discussion.
Well, and I was a virgin until I was 18. So
hooray!
You know,
look at all that.
We've all had sex.
Let's normalize this shit.
Yeah, yes, you know.
But was it that you saw people, you know, what was doing in people's hair and, you know, maybe that demystified things,
I think
the cute guy sat in your chair and then you're like, he's kind of got dandruff. And,
it was,
you know.
Well, no. Well, that's actually the worst, when a hot guy sits in your chair and they have bad breath and a crappy scalp.
Right.
You know, you can tell they have poor personal hygiene, especially if I have a guy scheduled for a haircut first thing in the morning, 90% of the time they haven't brushed their teeth. But the big thing that came from was having to spark up conversations with complete strangers.
Okay.
And so that's another reason why it's like now with my comedy career, I go out and I talk to everybody because I'm so used to breaking the ice and I can find any little thing to pick up on and carry a conversation with somebody, you know.
Right.
So
how did you get your sexual confidence, Anne? That's what I want to know.
Well, first thing I want to say, like, you can be sexually confident and also still incredibly insecure. Like, there is no binary where, like, you're either confident or you're not.
Right. Even with gender binary.
Yeah, there's literally no binary for anything, including like feelings and emotions. Like, it's just, you know, don't get me started, but this is my job and I will do it if you want me to talk.
Yeah, please.
But yeah, it's really just I was sort of like the fat kid growing up.
Me too.
And
really?
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not, and I grew up before there was clothing allowed for people over the size of 14. So I grew up very othered. But I also like very much expressed myself through clothing and outward appearance. So as mm-hmm. you can imagine, it was really horrible for me because I was, the world was telling me that I didn't belong. And they not only did I not belong, we don't want to make life easy for you. We don't want to let you express yourself in the way that everyone else around you does.
Yep.
We're going to make you look longingly at the clothes, try to fit in to them,
mm-hmm.
but you won't be able to. So I really just had to, among other things, I had to rely on personality and, you know, old archetypey, tropey bullshit. But I figured if people wanted to have me around as a friend who weren't already my friends, I should give them a good story. I should always have something to, like, I had to earn or give them a reason to want me around. Like old, right. you know, self-esteem garbage. But that was how I survived in a tiny town. And so meanwhile, I was very sexually explorative by myself, and no one in my life told me that was wrong or bad or gross. And so I'm like incredibly privileged to not have had shamey bullshit related to sex. I had tons of shamey bullshit with everything else.
That's great.
So
I mean that part of it's great.
Yes, of course.
And your family, you've been in the sex industry your whole life.
Almost my whole entire life,
right.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and my parents were from Brooklyn. So, like, they moved there, then had me and my sister. And, like, so none of us ever really quite belonged. I certainly did my best. You know, applied to play like lacrosse and all the things, and I was mediocre at best at every sport. But I did it and tortured myself. And
so you're bi-curious.
Sure.
That's a joke. Come on.
I'm trying to connect the dots. What's the bi from?
Lacrosse.
Oh, is that because like lesbians play lacrosse?
Yeah.
Oh, ha ha ha. Anyway,
I field hockey would have been funnier, but
I was going to say field hockey is the one that has like the lesbians archetype. But anyway, so just the fact that
they're laughing,
fantastic. I don't know. I don't know what funny is. I didn't have a sense of humor, so I had to learn that too. But anyway, okay. I was just really I knew what I enjoyed myself, and it didn't even occur to me. Like I never had a whole lot going on with the other guys, and if I did, it was like later in high school after my braces came off, and suddenly I was like attractive enough to make out with when we were wasted, and I was just like, okay, sure, let's make out. And so I really just like I knew what worked for me. And that is a really important part of your sexual confidence. When you know what is my normal, what is my truth.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get really rooted in what you know is true about you, when other people say shit about you, it affects you less because you know that that's not real, what they're trying to tell you.
Right.
Yes.
And so it's easier to see that as interesting. What is this telling me about them?
Right.
And that doesn't mean that I didn't have all kinds of shitty experiences in my 20s. Just banging all kinds of dudes who I thought were attractive, and let's see what this would be like. And very, very few orgasms at that point. But I learned my power at that point was moderately performatively, but I'm going to blow their minds so that they never forget me, even though there's no way in hell they'll ever actually really be able to pleasure me. My power was my effect on them. Wow. And that's where I gained a lot of my validation and the confidence I lacked outside of sex and sexuality.
Okay.
So that was a whole other thing I had to sort of undo.
Right. Angie's gesticulating as you're talking. So,
well, no, it's like you and I grew up very similarly. It's like I grew up in a small town. I was overweight. And it's like that's where I turned to humor because I was like, well, at least if I can make people laugh or I have this great personality, it's like they won't care that I'm fat. But it's like it's so funny how you can be the biggest person in the room and people act like you're invisible. You know, it's like, but again, I was really shy and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Go ahead. That'll be another joke. Go ahead.
Like, our culture designs it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's completely like, desexualized.
Back then, it's like, yeah, there was nowhere to shop. Like, I used to sew my own clothes to express some type of fashion because I loved fashion. I wanted to go into fashion.
So did
and it's
I.
Like, but they did not make clothes for big girls back then. It's like a Coleman tent. Hopefully, it had daisies on it. You know, that's how
there's
I felt.
No,
you know,
Lane Bryant. Yeah.
I remember discovering a Lane Bryant at the Fox Run Mall in Newington, and it's still there. And just looking around, and I was probably 15, 14, 13, and I just felt so, like, belonging, even though they were all old lady clothing.
Yeah.
I remember being in, like, I just remember feeling so inspired and wanting to write a letter to them to suggest, like, maybe you could make this for teenagers. And
what about Torrid?
No, it existed. I mean, I'm flattered you think that we're so young.
Yeah.
That was like eons after.
I mean, it's shit. Lane Bryant came out in what, like 95 maybe?
Something. And they made tents. It was like weird ribbed cotton tents that like all it was like they would take a pattern made for a small person and they would just like, just make it bigger.
They'd add panels.
Just like, make it wide.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter like how it would actually sit. It was just like, just cover the body that's bigger than what I understand.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole thing.
It's like,
thing.
Take a maternity shirt and
basically.
Put panels in the sides.
So, but like the straps would still be tiny.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it was just like, none of it made any sense. But I remember
feeling. And
they
would dig into the skin. And...
Right. But I was just like, oh my God, like what else can I try? Because it was just like, the littlest crumb was enough to satiate that like starvation of trying to find something to wear.
Yep, absolutely. Because,
which now, of course, this makes me feel sad. But I mean, that's just how it was.
That's exactly how it was.
Are you related to any of this?
I was just different in high school. I was bullied at home and in high school, and I had to change schools. It was so bad. So
wow.
And yeah, so I strictly stuck to fishnet skirts and band tees, you know, because I always fought with my weight my whole life too.
Mm.
And growing up in Alaska and a little bit back east, we really didn't have stores to go to.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's tough when you don't have access to something, and you're really just trying to figure out like, well, what do I need? Who even am I? And how do I express that? It's just, I mean, it's
It's changed so much over the years.
Yeah and we
paid. But back then there was hardly anything to find. I don't even think Hot Topic was around back then.
Well,
you know.
Also, like, I don't know. My generation, I think we paved the way for these little kids to be able to pierce and tattoo and color their hair without being bullied. And I had to change schools because I did that, and now it's like the coolest thing on Instagram.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, basically, what we're saying is you're welcome, right?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now, you were talking about blowing men's minds during sex. I'd imagine you've done that, Angie.
Well, when she said that, I was like, you know, I was like, she made a really good point, because in my 20s, it's like I just went crazy. I was living in Las Vegas. I moved there when I was 23. It's like, so I'm constantly meeting different people. Or you, when you're out, you meet tourists that are there just for the weekend and whatever else. So, you know, it's like I have some of the wildest experiences that happened in Sin City, you know. But same thing. It's like.
Is that when you fucked the guy and the toupee fell off?
No, I didn't fuck him. He went down on me, and I grabbed him by his hair, and the toupee came off of my hands.
That's a classic.
Oh,
you can't
God.
Even write that.
I fucking tell that shit on stage. And he's all, oh, my God. I'm like, that's what I'm supposed to say, you know?
Now, the question, of course, is did you know he had a toupee before?
You know, it's funny that the fact that I've been a hairdresser for so long, this is my disappointment that night. Okay, me and my friends had this thing back in the day. We used to go to a place called the Rum Jungle at Mandalay Bay every Sunday night,
oh,
you know?
Yeah. I the smile of recognition, I can see it.
Yeah, that's funny. So we were at the Rum Jungle every single Sunday. So I meet this guy there, and, you know, good-looking guy. We're talking. Well, I mean, the lighting in there, it's really dark, and the little bit of, like, the greens and the blues and the lasers and all the other stuff. So we're sitting there talking, and the way he had it combed and stuff like that, like, one, I wasn't paying that much attention. Two, I was already drunk when we got there because my sister was in town visiting. So we'd been out just kind of hopping, you know, from place to place all night. So, yeah, I didn't know that he had a piece on until – plus, he was like – we were like 28, I think, at the time. So I'm like, why in the hell are you wearing a piece at 28? And plus, he was one of those that had a handsome face. I'm like, you could totally Willis your hair and you'd be fine. Bruce Willis.
Right, right.
Yes.
Not what you're talking about, Willis.
Yeah, not him.
Totally different Willis.
Totally different Willis, yeah.
Let's not confuse those.
Exactly.
So when did you move to L.A., Ann? That's
2006.
Okay. And were you already in the adult business, or you?
No, I had just graduated journalism school, and I was convinced I was going to be the fashion editor of Vogue someday.
Nice.
I know, didn't work out though.
Still may.
Nope, fuck that garbage.
Haven't you been featuring Vogue?
No.
Or
no,
Cosmo,
totally
right?
Not.
Or...
Oh, yeah, I've been in all of those things.
Right.
It's really, I'd worked in fashion journalism for like a millisecond. This was back when LA people will know what I'm saying, when Kitson was like the thing, and you would call Kitson if you were like a C-list celebrity and say, hey, I'm going to go buy socks. Tell the paparazzi to show up so you can take a picture of me. Does anyone know what
like
I'm talking
Paris
about?
Hilton and but,
yeah,
company,
it was
yeah.
in the heyday of all
so
of that
So it's like a third
stuff.
Grade TMZ.
Yeah.
This is before TMZ was really as what it was. This was right. back when before Perez Hilton was big.
Okay.
Back when Perez Hilton was writing from a laptop in the coffee bean on Sunset.
Okay.
So I was hired to be an associate fashion editor for like a competing online magazine. Before online magazines were a thing, like I feel so like an old lady, like this
Stop.
Is before your time.
Stop.
But it's like the internet was so different back then. And they, among other things, like we would be teamed up. It was like a former editor at Us Weekly was trying to do this other online version of an Us Weekly, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I was hired to be one of the fashion people, but like an underling. And just what that all means is you're just helping to sell dumb clothes from other places and relating them to a celebrity so that people in Iowa think it matters. And I'm just sort of like, okay. And I mean, I was young and I was like, I'll do whatever. I'm so motivated. Mm-hmm. And after a little while, it was like, well, this sucks because they lied about salary. They lied about a lot of things. And I literally just saw an ad online for copy editing.
Right.
So like correcting errors using AP style, not sexy, for a magazine that covered the adult industry. And I was like, well, I studied sexuality and sociology and gender and all of that in school
mm-hmm.
and just never realized there could be like a way to connect journalism with those studies. And so I was like, well, this could probably be the closest I could get. So I applied, got the job, and then just sort of started this accidental career in the adult industry.
That's awesome.
AP style for an adult, for experts.
They very much care. Can I tell you a little story?
Please.
I mean, not that wasn't a story, but
right,
like,
right.
I don't know.
We're on a podcast. Why start now? Go
right,
ahead.
Totes.
Yeah,
totes.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
I was so aware of like errors and grammar. Like they cared that much. It's just so funny.
You wouldn't
business,
let a P-U-S-Y slide by.
Totes.
Had to be P-U-S-S-Y.
Right. And I would never have missed that. You know what I did miss?
What'd you miss?
God, it was, I think, Jenna Hayes. Or some Jenna someone, potentially Jenna Hayes. There were a couple of Jennas at the time who were big names.
A lot of Jennas.
Yeah, and I don't mean that as a joke, but it also could be one.
Right.
So Jennas were everywhere, and I didn't know all the porn stars' names at the time. And so J-E-N-A in a headline went past me. because it looked correct. Why would the fuck should I know, this tiny child who just came out of journalism school? And the rest of the staff who've all been working in the industry for, you know, forever, right. None of them noticed because they assumed that the new girl would get it. And so that's a big error in a headline to make, right. Even though it was, you know, it's not like the New York Times. And it was like this big thing, and I got, you know, semi in trouble for it. And it's just like, someone throw me a bone, or at least give me an Excel spreadsheet of porn star names so I can like know how everyone spells it. Because as people in the adult industry know, everyone spells their name a little different, so that it stands out a tad. So how the fuck would anyone know how any of this shit is spelled? Because it technically, a lot of it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So anyway, that was one of my first like big errors as the copy editor.
Oh, okay. But you retained the job.
I survived. I think they came close to firing me a couple of times for varieties of reasons that I don't care about. But I made them a fuckload of money, and I still am, even though I'm not working there. So
how are you making them a fuckload of money now?
They didn't have a sex toy section in the magazine. They didn't take it seriously.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I was just like, how is this not? Because I used to shop at Babeland all the time and just buy sex toys because it made a lot of sense, and I would get my friends like lipstick vibes and. So I would get press releases from sex toy companies, and they would tell me just to throw them out. And I was just like, well, but why? This doesn't make sense to me. It's like Nordstrom without a shoe section. That's my favorite analogy.
Right.
Like it matters. But this was before piracy became a huge issue. So porn was still like a fuckload of money every 20 minutes.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is it because they assumed no women were reading it?
No, because this wasn't for consumer, like, regular people. This was a business magazine. So, like, people who run adult stores would read the magazine to see what was new. So for them at the time, this was before retail stores became what they would call couples friendly.
Right.
It was, like, a trend to test out couples friendly stuff in stores. Mm-hmm. So it was still very much that stereotype where, like, it was dark and dank and, you know, a little bit creepy to go in there by yourself.
Right.
Into the stores, I mean. And so at the time, like, sex toys were just like an upsell. If you would get a membership on a website, they would send you a physical product to prove that you made the transaction. So if somebody tried to cancel and charge back the credit card transaction, there was evidence that that purchase was made because something was mailed.
Oh, jeez.
So it wasn't considered... It was, I mean, it's fucking smart, except, you know, it meant that sex toys were literal little fun novelties. Nobody quite understood the power of them, no pun intended.
Right.
Except, of course, the lesbian sex toy store owners of like Good Vibrations, for instance, and in Babeland, who really paved the way for what adult retail is now.
Well, let's do a sidebar because I want to ask.
Go for it.
You've been in this industry for a long time. So what has progressed in the most positive way and in the most negative way? Since, say, 2006 or whenever you started?
I mean, I think the best progress is people realizing how there's, like, more than one way to exist as a person. And so there is no normal anymore in terms of how a product should be and how a porn scene should be set up or sold. Mm-hmm. So there's so much more variety and accessibility in terms of finding something that works for you, including making it easy to purchase the stuff without it being scary or unsettling or bad for your credit or, you know, any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so just the way of the accessibility of adult content and product has been really, it's great how it's like expanded and it made it just easier. The negativity, I think, is just the devaluation of adult content and adult products, people expecting it to be free.
Right.
And it's really easy to get everything for free, which means the very talented performers don't make anything off of the shit that people download or find on the tube sites. And then the sort of sex toy equivalent of that is Amazon. It's totally obliterating adult retail, selling crap product for low prices. It's putting a lot of companies out of business.
They have vibrators on Amazon?
Fuckloads. That's where most people find.
They do. Yeah. I got one for a friend once and it was really shitty.
Amazon is so huge that any news organization can have an affiliate program with Amazon, meaning any purchase that comes through their news article makes the news outlet money. So, for instance, if Bustle or Cosmopolitan wants to do a sex toy roundup, I can't suggest a sex toy store that has trained sex educators as employees, for instance, because they're going to link to the Amazon store that makes them money.
Right.
And so to clarify,
you're still a publicist for...
Yeah, that's the thing that people value the most, which, you know, is just how the world works right now. I do PR for, not as much, but for sex toy companies who really need the boost. And that helps me afford to do the sex education work that I do, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't also want to pay for that. They think that I should right. answer their questions and help them for free out of the goodness of my heart, wow. which right. I would love to if I could afford that. I really right. enjoy right. helping people, right. but like, I got to pay my fucking Los Angeles rent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know.
Right.
I saw your apartment today, or maybe it was an old apartment.
Did you? Interesting.
An article with you and your husband and your cats. It said that your cats are living in you. They let you two live there.
Oh, in apartment therapy.
Apartment therapy.
We made
yes.
it into apartment therapy. Yes. Yeah, I don't know if like listeners know what the fuck that is, but
I still don't know what the fuck it is. Oh but God, I looked at
don't
it.
Don't either.
It's funny. It's just I don't know. It's a website where people get to show how they made their apartment spaces.
You have four
like,
cats
cute and livable. I have a fuckload
oh,
of cats.
That's cute. Mm-hmm.
Or you had okay. four at the time of that article.
I still do have four.
Okay.
It's a different foursome, though. At the time, I had an older cat named Bert, who has since passed, but he was a lovely animal.
I'm sorry.
Well, okay. When you two got together, he had one, you had two, then there was a stray. And how long ago was this article that I looked at?
Almost a year.
Yeah. Because I saw another one that with an old boyfriend from like
from downtown. That was a long
when you were
time
going
ago.
Out of the glass blower. But we'll talk, that's another discussion for another time.
Yes.
But what's your favorite sex toy, Angie?
What's my favorite sex toy? You know,
besides your boyfriend is sitting right here.
I know. Well, I told him that I'm not holding back today. So, you know what?
Well, he knows me. He knows you're not going to. I'm not.
I have
gonna
a
let
couple
you.
Of piercings down there, so anything that vibrates works for me. Seriously.
Wait, this is news to me. Wait a second.
Can I? Oh my God.
Yeah, ask away.
I had my clitoral hood pierced for a little bit, and I couldn't use my vibrators because it just rattled everything. So I took the fucking thing out.
Okay, so I got my clit pierced, and then I got the hood pierced.
Your clitoris
my
was pierced
clit
too?
Is actually pierced, yeah. Oh, and it's the best $58 I have ever spent in my life.
It only
life.
Cost you $58?
Well, I got it done like 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, like I could cross my legs right now and have an orgasm. Right. It is
so
like,
interesting.
It's amazing.
Right.
It's,
and
yeah.
They did it with a rusty knife, but that's a whole other thing.
It's, yeah, seriously. But anyways, it's like, you know, anything that vibrates a little bit, it's the best. You know what I mean? It's like, but honestly, my favorite sex
go
toy.
Ahead, go ahead, do it.
Huh?
Go, cross your legs. Have
no,
it right
cost, that'll cost extra, Mark.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's when we're going to have to put a little pop-up on that says, if you want to continue, $4.99 a minute.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Patreon link up.
So, but well, I didn't know that. So anyway, you were saying, so anything that...
So, but my favorite thing is like, if you can have a clitoral orgasm with a, I don't know, an insertion orgasm at the same time, I mean, that's freaking gold to me. So
right.
It's like a lot of the times when we have sex, I'll have my toy going on my piercings. And then he's having sex with me at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's, and then as soon as I have an orgasm that way, he just keeps having sex with me and I can have an orgasm about every 10 seconds.
All right.
So wow. I have about 10 to every one for him.
I'm
you
really
know?
Happy for you. That's exciting.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I'm just like, my God.
That's the way
I'm
it should
like,
be.
But you know what? That didn't happen until I got into my 30s. In my 20s, I went through a whole lot of like sex felt good, but I never got off, you know?
That's really normal. There's evolution in terms of like how our bodies are, our brains are, all this stuff.
I agree
so
with that. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like in every once in a while you find somebody that can actually go down on you the right way, you know, and so that's a huge thing, you know, but it's like in all my years, I think I've found maybe 4-5 people that could do it right, you know.
Well, so. and then right is, I mean, every vagina is different. So you got to, it takes a while. I mean, you're probably not going to hit it the first time, to be honest.
To be honest, but I mean, a lot of stuff back then for me was only one time.
Right.
Because I was like, man, I was like, you're like a dirty piece of laundry that I want to throw away. Thanks for making me increase my number. I took my pants off for this. Bye. You know,
that was
the other thing is like treating
number?
Men like shit. You know what I mean? It's like, I just did this to you and you had a great time, but you didn't do anything for me, you know? Like,
well, what if they?
But I tell you what, they love it. These men love being treated like garbage. I had a guy.
Really?
I had a guy that I met him back in like 2003.
Okay.
And a couple years ago at Christmas time, and this guy's been like married, divorced, since our one experience, you know. And he called me a couple Christmases ago, and he goes, "I just want to let you know that you're still what I masturbate to." I was like, "Are you kidding me? Really?"
Did you find that complimentary?
I was like, would you marry a Mormon? Like, seriously. I was like,
you're a sexual
what
animal.
He thought
you know
was
that.
Extravagant. I was like, that's a Tuesday.
What was
you
so
know?
Extravagant?
Like,
what'd you do to him?
I used anal beads on him. You know?
Of course. Well, there you go.
His fucking brain exploded.
I knew something was going on.
Yeah, his brain exploded. And as soon as I got done using him, I threw him away. And he's actually the only guy I've ever used those.
I would hope so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him or the
Do you recycle anal beads generally?
Well, I bought them originally at a toy party. Mm-hmm. To explore, you know, have them used on me.
Right.
And they end up getting used on him. So I'm just like.
Now, how does. Bitch. I would imagine so, but how does that switcheroo happen?
I don't know. You're we were out drinking and he was in town. He was in Vegas visiting. Right. His company sent him there all the time, you know. And actually, over the years, he introduced me to all his friends. So now I'm still friends with his friends.
Right.
But they're all like, wow, he's a douchebag that cheats on his wife all the time. Like when I hooked up with him, I thought he was single. And I found out from his best friend later that the fucker was married.
Right.
You know? Sucks. Yeah. I'm just like, God, I'm like, you know what? I should have put those in an envelope and sent them to his wife and been like, here, fuck your husband with these things.
Pre-washed. But
no, I wouldn't have washed them. I would have just like put them in like a Ziploc and been like, here.
How many beads could he take?
Well, it was one of those that, like, it started off, like, the tip of a pinky, like, really tiny, and then it slowly got... So I want to say the biggest one was probably only like that. You know, it wasn't very much.
Right.
And so it was like a starter. It was a starter set of people. You know, but anyway,
that's like a golf ball you were just showing.
But I want to say I probably... I don't know. It was less than a golf ball. I mean, it was, you know, like the size of a big marble.
All right, I don't know. I was excited about Tiger Woods.
Like a jawbreaker, you know, an atomic fireball.
Yeah, well, that's...
That's huge. Like, let's be real.
I've never had
an
atomic fireball up my sphincter.
Not yet. Never say never.
You know what, though?
You have sex appeal.
See, you should do an atomic fireball because you're going to get off in more ways than one.
Have you had an atomic fireball up your
ass? It might give you heartburn, though.
in my ass?
Look who's the educator.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
I don't know. I got a finger once.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Well, hopefully there was no nail attached to it. That's where I draw the line.
Well, there's always a nail.
Not one of these.
Are you fucking somebody with no nails? Or what's?
No, if I don't have fingernails on, then I would entertain the idea more.
I would never put that on.
See how your hands are with nothing that hangs off the tip of the finger? You don't want to stick a finger up someone's ass and pull something out underneath it.
But there's a nail there. So you don't want
to. There's always a nail, but as long as there's no edge hanging off.
All right.
You know?
Okay. All right.
But yeah, it's like anytime.
So you mean like no cocaine nail or anything like that?
Well, definitely don't use the same nail.
Or Wendy Williams nails or any of that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. No Wendy Williams nails.
Right,
you know.
Right. Okay. Got it. I'm just curious. Now, see, we could
just curious.
We could talk freely.
How many beads was it?
Yeah. How many?
I love that. It was just, so. How many beads?
Well, I was curious because you really wanted to punish the guy, and you were pissed off that he was married.
I didn't know he was married until afterwards.
Well, right. I understand that, but...
But he was like, I've always wanted to try that and this. And again, he was like, oh, put a finger in my ass. I was like, I have nails. There's no way in hell that's happening. I said, but I just bought these to hopefully have them try it on me, you know? So I was like, here, we can try this, you know? And
here's another question.
And I want to say I put them all in because there wasn't that. I mean, there was probably five or six. It was probably about this long. You know, it's like a bead and then like 2 or 3 inches and then another bead a little bit bigger. But yeah, I think I used the whole thing. And
let me go to the expert now. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ann. Uh-huh. But you're supposed to pull it out, right? Is that the whole thing?
Well, it depends on what you want to do. But the appeal of anal beads is pulling them out one by one because that the feeling of release is pleasurable.
Well, and that's kind of what I was doing. It's like put a few in and then pulled them out a little bit and then put them back in. And then, you know, eventually we got to the point where we went all the way in and then slowly pull a couple out, put them back in, then pull three out, then put it, you know, and then pull four. I feel that I was doing it the right way, even though I had never...
attentive lover.
I am, but people like that don't appreciate it.
It's true.
You know?
Fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Not literally.
It's like, he left Vegas and went home and fucked his wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do 10 years later when it comes Christmas time.
Seriously, I'm like, what are you feeling heartfelt? And like, you know, you're like, oh, I think I'm going to let Angie know that I'm grateful for her being my masturbation material.
It's a selfish bullshit thing to say.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I was just like, that's nice, Chris.
Yeah,
have
bye,
a nice life. Bye.
By the way,
tell your friends to call me because they're cool and you're not. Right. Click.
And no one likes you.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm glad you said that because I forget who it was, but you remember, Hannah, somebody on the show said a guy told her that he masturbated to her and she's like, that's such a great compliment. I'm like, is it?
It depends.
I would never say
depends
that.
On who it depends on the recipient. But I what's really important is always err on the side of caution, whether it's sending a pic of a dick or saying, I jerk off to you. Like, imagine how it might feel on the receiving end of it. If the person hasn't already consented, if you're not already kind of in a sexy conversation, right. Do not unsolicited say that you're my jerk off porn, because that's actually incredibly inappropriate. And some people actually consider that a form of like assault. Like, it really triggers them so intensely that you become a predator. So, like, just don't do that. Just don't do it.
See, I thought that was inappropriate. And then
yeah, good for you. It's true.
Because somebody, she's like, it was such a compliment. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. I'm like, what?
It depends on who it's from. Because I've had it from some really nasty dudes. It
depends on who it's from, the context, what happened that night. Well,
this is where I was getting. Because here's our hashtag Me Too in the middle of the show. And it was funny because I was watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And obviously this is a joke. But there is some reality to it. The guy... It's a good joke because there's a kernel of truth to it.
Okay.
Because the guy's like...
Just a kernel.
No, I don't
teeny,
know.
Teeny, tiny bit.
Well, I'm going to ask the ladies.
Like the last anal bead on that little thing you were using.
I'm going to ask the ladies.
Woo!
Because they were talking about sexual harassment. And he's like, the sexual harassment, a good-looking guy, something that a good-looking guy says, an ugly guy's not going to get away with.
Oh, yeah, I get
that.
A
joke.
Except, like, again, like, I don't give a shit what you look like. If you say something inappropriate, like the dude at the bar earlier today, like, handsome gentleman, but like.
Was he?
He was a lovely, nice, kind person. If he had said something to me that was inappropriate, I would have been like, you're fucking disgusting. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter who, like, if the person's attractive or not. Though I understand where that joke comes from, but it is so subjective. You know?
And here's the thing now, and this is where I'm at, and this is where my I'm not blaming Me Too for my dating woes. Actually, I
good
after the after
it won't help your dating woes.
After talking after the No Sex Appeal podcast, I actually got a couple stalkers, but that's a whole other show altogether.
You did.
Yeah. What?
So now you're dating?
No, I'm not.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Now you know what it's like.
Well, I knew already, but it was what I'm saying is. When somebody's attracted to you, and when there's a whole dance that you have to do, there's a whole you kind of, if you want to be with somebody, you do kind of have to cross that boundary a little bit to see if it's reciprocated.
No, I would phrase it very differently, because crossing a boundary is never a good idea. If a boundary is there, it's a boundary. And if there's opportunity to cross it, the person who set that boundary will move that boundary or take it away. And it'll be clear. Mm-hmm. It'll be very clear.
Yep.
Yeah.
If there's no, in no way is it appropriate to test a boundary in order to see if it's reciprocated. Because when you think about it, you don't want your boundary crossed also as reciprocation, right? Like, boundaries are there to keep us feeling safe in a situation that feels vulnerable. So,
well, I mean, like, you know, when you know when it's right to kiss a woman.
So how do you know?
That's the thing. It's never stated.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, like, you got to look at her, like, body language. Like, does she, like, bat her eyelashes at you? Or she's like,
but that's the thing.
She's sitting there playing with her hair or always going, oh, Mark, you're so funny and touching you.
Or she might just go kiss you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Please go right ahead. But I'm just. But I've misread signals.
It happens,
and it's not clear.
It happens.
A lot of times it's not clear, and sometimes you know. Mm-hmm. So this is where men are. This is where men are confused a bit these days, and I'm sure you and your classes have seen this.
All the time. I work with a lot of cis heterosexual men who are just like, I don't understand how to flirt anymore, and it's just like, I get it. Yeah, shush. And obviously that's not how I handle it in the moment, but I know for whatever reason I have.
Well, that's a set of clear boundaries, I'll tell you that.
I have the skill and the tolerance to work with people who are challenging and a little bit resistant to these types of conversations. And so I take that as, I feel like I have a social responsibility in my work to try to then meet those kinds of people where they're at. And so I work with a lot of people who are just like, Me Too's dumb. And it's not just men. I mean, I'm not all kinds of people.
And I am not saying Me Too's dumb.
I know you're not.
I want to be clear to say I've never crossed the boundary. Mm-hmm. I've erred on the side of caution, if anything else.
Right.
But I have had women play with their hair and send the signals and went in and
But so many women are sick in the head. They are trying to send the signals, even though they're not initially interested.
Potentially.
They want your attention. And I've had women not send signals or send signals that were so subtle I didn't pick up on it.
Right.
It totally went right by me.
Yeah.
Welcome to relationships and dating.
Yep.
People are confusing and complicated. We don't make any sense.
Not men. Men are step above chimp. It's pretty easy.
That's bullshit. That is selling men short. Y'all are not that fucking simple. You have feelings. You've got all this stuff that is just like us. Like, we are not that different. But socially, our culture wants men to be these simple, emotionless Neanderthals. And, like, women are supposed to be these crazy, emotional people. And it's just, like, all of that is a social construct. We just have to, especially when it comes to dating, we have to accept that, like, we are all complicated and weird and unpredictable, and which is why it's weird and confusing to date, because we don't know what we're dealing with, and we certainly don't know what our date is dealing with. And so we're dealing with our own shit while also trying to, like, read the nonverbal cues and the verbal cues and, like, all of it at once, while also, like, I don't want to spill food on my shirt, and it's a lot. Mm-hmm. Confusion and like what you experience, like not reading signals properly, that's part of the deal.
I would say women pick up on signals generally a lot easier than men.
No,
I don't think it's fair to say it. I think it sounds like that's true, but I think different people have different abilities, different empathy levels, different, like, comfort with reading mm-hmm. signals, familiarity with what those signals even are, right. And so it really just depends on the person.
Right. Angie, I can tell you, I the show we did the other night, or the show that I was at the Roaster, I could have picked out every single man in that room that wanted to have sex with you, and every single man that did not.
It
was so obvious.
Well, every single one wanted to. Well, only one did.
Aiden did not want to have sex with you.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Aiden was there.
Yeah.
My little Gaiden. I love him so much.
Yes.
Yeah. I love Aiden so much. But what we were talking
about.
Trust me,
I walk into gay bars. I do not mess up the signals. I know who's checking me out, and I know who's not.
Cool.
Easy.
Well, then you're further along.
Oh, yes, I do. I have to
I'd say in some cases, yes. I can't tell you how many times that most of my friends are male. So there's a lot of times, especially in comedy, I'm surrounded by men most of the time.
Right.
So when I was single, it's like so many times guys would be like, hey, you want to go have a couple of drinks tomorrow night? Sure. Harry, I'm thinking that we're going to hang out and write jokes and just get to know each other. And, right over my head. And I'm usually good at recognizing the signals, but it's like in these cases, I'm like, they didn't make it sound like they wanted to take me on a date. They were just like, hey, let's hang out. To me, that's like, okay, this guy wants to be my friend, because almost all my friends are male, you know? So things like that. And then...
Well, I could have told you that right off the bat.
Well, I've learned as I've gotten older, you know? And then with the Me Too thing that we were talking about, it's like one of my guy friends in Vegas said that you go on a really good first date with a girl, and then you try to, like, hold her hand or, like, put your arm around her. And he's like, and he's had girls, like, freak out on him and be like, wait a second, when did I give you the signal that it was okay to do that? And this. And he's like, whoa, like they're practically calling rape by just trying to do, like, let me put my jacket over your shoulders type gesture, you know? So he said that him and all his guy friends have spent the money not on blow up dolls, but those more expensive fuck dolls. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know what? They're like this way. They're like, and he was like, it feels like the real thing. But he was like, basically him and all his friends have resorted to buying these artificial lovers. They're like, because I swear to God, I take a girl on a date and I try to be very chivalrous, and these women are still trying to treat us like we're fucking rapists.
Do you get the thing
that,
there?
It's like, that's the problem. I see the problem already.
But it's like they give them the signal, like, okay, I'll let you hold my hand. But then when he tries to put his arm around her, she's like, no, that's too far.
Right. But one hand.
Okay, that's too far. What's the problem?
Right. So, like, I get the frustration on the dude side of things. But relating, like, oh, it's so hard to deal with that I'm just going to get a fuck doll. That's relating the date to a fuck doll.
I'm
going to go on this date in order to have sex, and how dare they get offended? So I'm just going to get a sex toy.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we all have our.
Well, he said the main reason why he did it is because he's afraid.
That's, I think, a more honest way to talk about what's going on.
Yeah, and that's why he said him and his friends are doing it is because of fear.
Totally.
Can I ask you a question, seriously?
Yeah.
And this is subjective.
Yeah.
Is he good looking?
Yeah, he is.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, he's a good looking guy. He's going to school to be an anesthesiologist. He's a good-looking guy.
They need money, right?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, well.
He's smart. He's attractive. He's talented. You know, it's like we've been friends for years. And when he told me that, I was like, wow, you know.
Everyone's just trying to navigate all this shit. And a lot of people are realizing, like, hey, I actually have – I can be empowered to set lines and to set boundaries. And so, like, we're all kind of – there's no rule book. So we're all just, like, fumbling around and fucking it up and getting uncomfortable and – the easy way to go about it is to get upset, like, how dare they or how dare he or all the stuff.
Yeah.
It's really just, like, that goes back to a binary of, like, you're either good or bad. You're either doing it right or you're doing it wrong. And there's – we're at a point in this big cultural shift where we're trying to look at it or handle it from a binary good-bad point of view, but really we're just, like, drowning in the gray area of it and just trying to, like – figure it out, and it's going to be really messy and stumbly and inelegant.
And let me ask you another question. Now, this is a, I'm perceiving this as a predominantly heterosexual problem, which goes back to my point before.
Mm-hmm.
I think guys can read the guy signals, and women can read women's signals.
I don't think it's about the gender.
Yes.
Because I really think it's a confusion with gender with dating. But the reason why there's a bit of a heterosexual bent is because our entire culture was built on the assumption that we're all hetero.
Unless you're Kevin Spacey and you're a fucking scumbag. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Sure.
I think men could read med signals a lot better than
I don't know.
And women can women.
It's easy to believe that, but like, is there a lesbian
hashtag Me Too case?
There are all kinds of
absolutely.
It doesn't matter what gender is. Sexual violation happens across the spectrum.
Yep.
The thing is, there are some gender norms, some gender expectations, and some stereotypes around how men are supposed to be with women. This idea that, like, men take sex, women give sex, that have amplified a lot of the transgressions in the heterosexual world, and they exist to a lesser, not a lesser extent, but a lesser intensity in other relationships because there isn't that existing idea of, well, I'm entitled to this. You give this to me. Why aren't you? I'll take it. You see what I'm saying?
That's never been. I do believe the woman gives permission and gives the sex.
Everyone has to give permission.
I would never. I mean, I would never take anything from anybody.
I believe you.
And so that to me is not. I was not raised like that. That's not even in my thought process. Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying, and I know there's people like that. And
it's everywhere.
Yeah. So, but it is. It's tough. I mean. And you say, you know, whip the hair and whatever, but the signals are not that easy.
The only way to know 100% if someone wants something is to check in and ask. And there are absolutely sexy ways to check in and ask.
Can you give me one without charging me?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's really like about like context in the moment, but it's just like even asking, can I kiss you? Or I would really love to kiss you right now, is a whole lot sexier than like staring at someone, analyzing their hair movement and hand movement, and then like going in and then having the person go, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if talking about it or checking in creeps you out or you think it's a turn off, there's a chance that you're the only one turned on in that moment.
Right. Okay.
Also, I think that, like, when you go on a first date with somebody, first off, if I go on a first date with somebody, it's not even a date. It's coffee.
Yes.
It's always coffee because I'm like, if we can get through the good 30 minutes.
It's the pre-date before the date.
Maybe 45 to an hour. Exactly. It's the pre-date, you know, whatever. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, I think everybody should do that first instead of committing to going to dinner or whatever the case may be. It's like,
feel the person
out a little bit. And also, like, just. I think people should just let go and be a little bit more open with each other. It's like, this is a complete stranger and you can choose if you want to see them again. So lay it out on the table. I mean, maybe not everything, but everybody's lives, we all have different backgrounds. We all have different upbringings. Nobody knows what's happened to you in the past 2 days, the past 2 weeks, the past 2 months. And that can affect your everyday life. You know, it's like, so I think it just depends on the timing, the person, the situation, everything, you know, it's like, so somebody could be giving you the signals. But then the guy they went on a date with the last time, they could feel the same attraction but not have the signals there because maybe the conversation was different. But I just think people should be a little bit more open.
Right. I mean, I've misread the signals so bad that I had a woman actually tell me, no, I like you. That's an odd conversation. And it just – and unfortunately that didn't work out, but that's the one that got away. Anyway, let me hear from that very intelligent discussion and very
– You want to get raunchy, don't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, before, no, I'm not even that raunchy, but I didn't know if Hannah had something. It looks like she had something to say about it.
I actually don't. I'm learning, you know, because I got into the game really, really late, and, you know, I'm doing...
But are you doing the pre-date before the date, meeting him for coffee or drink before you meet him for, like,
always
dinner
do that first.
It depends, because a lot of the guys that I'm dating now, I've been friends from the past that I didn't know they actually liked me. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, take me to dinner.
Right. Well, if they're your friend, 90% of the time they like you. They want to have sex with you, I would say.
Oh,
yeah. I have a question for you. Absolutely. Yeah. You're beautiful. It's like these guys are meeting up with you and they're like, God, I hope she puts out. You know?
I'm not even saying like that.
No, but like, but again, it's like they would love it if you did. But again, you're so beautiful and you're so fun to be around. It's like, I'm sure that they would want to take you on a few dates and just get to know you more, you know?
Right.
Thank you.
Eventually, you know. I'm not even saying, I just want to fuck you. I'm just saying they like you and they're attracted to you. And they probably would like you to be their girlfriend or something like that, or at least have some sort of relationship or physical, you know, they're physically attracted to you.
Yeah, I got that one from the second date. He's like, I want to be your boyfriend. I'm like, I'm just getting to know people right now. I'm not sleeping with anybody and still celibate. Like,
Had you even kissed him yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was the kissing good?
No.
Oh, see, then no, you don't want to sleep with him.
I'm just like not interested in anybody sexually right now.
Well, I think right now, honestly, and I know we weren't going to talk about your current dating life, but from what you've been telling me, I think it's a lot healthier than it's been.
It is, because I'm not really too crazy about the guy, so I'm more comfortable with being myself and being funny and not worrying about saying the wrong thing. And I actually have a date after I get out of here across the street.
It seems to happen every week. But
yeah,
that works out nicely though.
Yeah, so I'm
you're already out.
Yeah, I'm testing out serial dating right now.
Well, I would say casual dating. I wouldn't say serial dating.
Well, I'm going on a series of dates.
No, I got that. But I'm saying, you've gone out with men, and you've really attached, like, this is the one, this is the one, this one. I think it's healthier at this point for you to say, look, let's date a bunch of guys, see what happens.
There's only been two that casual. I was really attached to, and just recently the last guy, it's just like, the what the fuck was I thinking, just kind of clicked in the other night.
But if you dated him a little more casually and didn't attach things to it, I think that may have gone better.
Well, also, he was just so on me. I was like, whoa, I don't know what to do. Okay, let's just go with it.
All right, he's got good taste. What are you going to do?
Now, how do you feel about if you treat a man like shit and they just keep coming back for more? You know what I mean? It's like, it feels that
And that could be the other way around.
Well, in the past, it always seemed like the ones that I was really like, oh my God, this guy is so hot. And I liked him for all the wrong reasons. Of course, it never worked out, you know? But then I would meet other ones that I was just like, yeah, they're there. They're fun. They're this. But it's like, I just would be such a bitch to them, and they just kept coming back for more. I'm like, you must be, was that a masochist?
Yeah, the ones you ignore, they keep coming back to you.
Yeah, like, they just keep pining for more and more and more. You know, I'm like, God, I'm like, I'm going to continually treat you like garbage. And they're like, that's fine.
Think about the stereotype of men who treat women like shit, and like the woman keeps coming back to that.
That's true.
Some people are really turned on by that. There are absolute fetishes for humiliation and being, you know, degraded. So, like, it could be just a way that they express themselves sexually, but also it could also just be, like, that is trauma from their past. That is what they think love is, because that's how they learned what love is. And so that's the pattern that they're in. And you are providing them with a thing that they recognize as familiar.
Okay.
And don't necessarily know that it could be a different way.
Yeah.
Or if it could, it's unfamiliar. So they don't want it. And so, like, you're giving them what they associate with, like, love and affection.
And it almost seems like they don't even realize that that is what they want. You know what I mean? It's almost like they
We have friends that do. We know people in the S&M community.
Well, shit. I mean, I had to get the restraining order against that asshole comic here in town. I'm not going to say his name. You know who I'm talking about.
I don't, but
this is a guy that we were just friends, you know? And this was in Vegas, and we were just friends. We hung out all the time. And I will say, the thing that really sucks is he is hilarious, and I could have seen a bright future for him. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple times, this was like over 7 years ago. I had broke up with, you know, back then I thought he was the love of my life. We broke up, but I started hanging out with this other comic. And every once in a great while, we'd have too much to drink and we'd sleep together. But I just thought it was just chalked up to, oh, we had too much to drink. You sleep on my couch all the time. You see me going on dates with other men all the time. And he just freaked out one day and he was like, you know, we're in love. And I was like, I know. I felt bad for him. And I said, you know what? I go, I don't like to see that I hurt my friend. I said, so why don't we stop hanging out for a while? Get over whatever you think this is so we can start hanging out again. I said, because I love you and I don't want to see you hurting.
Mm-hmm. You just said the love word too.
Well, I know I loved him as a friend. I mean, you know, like, Mark, I love you. I love her. I love, you know, it's like I've got a lot of love to give.
No,
you know?
I understand. But,
I didn't love him
perhaps,
the way I love him, you know,
right,
not even close, you know. And so, but he just...
Anal beads, clitoral piercings, I got it.
Yeah, there was nothing about anal beads with this fucking guy. I mean, right. It was one of those things I'd wake up the next day and be like, oh my God, did I let you touch me? You know? So anyways, but yeah, it's like, he just like freaked out and I was like, I'm sorry. But again, I was so mean to him all the time, but it's like, I just thought that was the funny way that we got along as friends, you know?
Well, I'm glad you're not dating a comic because I don't think...
And
I don't think
no,
that's
I've dated comics.
Well, I know you have. I know you have.
I can't shit where I eat anymore.
Right. No, but here's
I'm glad I'm dating an electrician now,
right.
You know?
You work with your husband though.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, but not all the time.
Well, we work in different. I mean, we have some industries in common, right. But he does breath work and he helps people get and stay sober mm-hmm. and manage trauma. And I also work in rehabs.
Right.
But so, like, we have like a Venn diagram, you know. And so sometimes, like in that overlap, we'll do workshops together where, like, we had an un-Valentine's Day, the day after Valentine's
Day. Right.
Days.
I almost went to that.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, we'll do more. But we also have our own things on our side, you know, our own individual things.
Well, I thought I had a date, and then she texted me and said, because we were going to go to an art gallery. I thought things were going well. She's mm-hmm. like, she sent me a meme that, yeah, let's be my Palentine. I was like, yeah, I don't think we're going out tonight. And I should have gone to your thing.
Did she flake or something after that?
No, she basically said, we're just friends. Basically.
Using a meme?
A Palentine.
She communicated that in a meme?
She seems to communicate things like that.
It's so young person.
Yes.
Right. I'm sorry that
she's
that
not
happened.
Even that, she's not even that young, but yeah. That's
well, maybe up in here, I guess. But
yeah, well, that's for sure.
Well, also, it's like you meet women that, because I know you like older women. It's like
I like women just period. I like.
I know, but
I age is not a thing.
For instance,
I will go out with older women. I will go out with younger women.
My parents got married when they were 21 or 22.
What are you summing up with your mom? What's
they were married for 40 years. You know, it's like, and my parents got a divorce, but they stayed roommates. You know, and that's like. But the thing is like. She is almost like, it's almost like when somebody goes to prison for 20 years.
Right.
I hate to use that as a comparison, but it's almost like when somebody goes to prison for 20 years, say like somebody goes to prison when they're 20,
right.
They get out when they're 40. In mm-hmm. a lot of ways, they're still mentally 20
sure.
because they have been institutionalized right. for 20 years. So I feel that my parents were the same way. It's like they've been together since their early 20s. And now right. that they're finally single again, it's like, you know, my mom's asking me for dating advice. And it's like, I wrote jokes about the shit
so
that
she's
finding.
So you are trying to
hook
me up with your mom, yeah.
You know, well, she's 65. She's a widow. I mean, hey, you know.
Well, the thing is, I will date.
She's in Arizona. She lives in the middle of nowhere.
I will date women in their 60s. I like intelligent, extraordinary women. I don't care if they're 25 or 65. I could care less. If they're cute and they're.
You're that, ladies?
Huh?
I'm just like, to the audience of all the ladies of all
well,
the ages.
They know. But it's, okay, good. I don't have like a, you know, obviously got to be legal. I would say, you know, probably at this point, you know, I would say 25 would be the cutoff, but I've dated some 22-year-olds, but...
You know how, like, 18 is, like, you know, like, oh, they have to be 18 in order to date them or whatever. Wouldn't it be funny if there was a cutoff at, like, 70 that, like, you couldn't, you know? They got to be between 18
I've
and
70.
I've
seen some beautiful 7-year-olds.
Wouldn't it be funny if there was, like, a law that it was almost like another statutory rape?
Right.
In some ways, that's
kind of happening, like,
well,
in certain facilities.
I would never get laid.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One of my best friends used to have this roommate that was this crazy son of a bitch. And when the guy moved out... He was probably like early 30s, good-looking guy, martial arts, you know. And we found a bunch of granny porn in between his mattresses. And we're like, wow, you would never think that this guy was into banging grandma, you know. He wanted to play Little Red Riding Hood.
I'm not into banging grandma. I'm not. I don't insist they wear Depends and like night shawls. If a woman would
be all right.
What? Poise?
He doesn't know what those are. It's
poise.
Fine.
It's panty liners.
They're panty liners, but then they have these other things that look like tampons that go... Mm. Have you guys seen those?
Mm-mm.
Okay, one of my friends is 63. She's almost my parents' age. And the poise makes these things that look like tampons, uh-huh. and they go in like a tampon. But if you have like a bladder leakage or slippage, this thing is like a tampon. It absorbs it, right? Uh-huh. But it also puts pressure on whatever... So that you don't have bladder leakage, right? Oh, but wow. She took one apart one day and showed me because she's like, I can't wear these things. They're painful. Ladies, don't wear these things. So when she took it apart, first off, it was way bigger than a tampon. Secondly, it's like, you remember when you were a kid, you bounce the ball and pick up the jacks?
Yeah.
This thing looked like a big old fucking jack that would expand.
Oh. I don't understand how that would work, though.
Who invented these things?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, think if it's, like, I mean, if it's in your vagina, your urethra is a different hole.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if it was just the way it would expand.
Yeah.
Would put pressure so you wouldn't have bladder leakage,
oh,
or
God.
If I don't
someone
really
with a
know.
Penis invented that.
Exactly.
For sure.
Swear to God, yeah.
For
I'm like,
sure.
So does anyone want to play Jax?
Oh my
you
God.
Know, like,
those guys.
That's so interesting.
I know. It's so, I'm like, God, and she had a prolapsed bladder. That's why she
was,
you know,
happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It's just like, it's a thing that can happen to so many people, and it's just like, I don't know.
But the reason I date women, older women, is because older women like me.
That's
women my age and younger
women. I can
women,
introduce you
don't.
To her too. She hasn't had sex in like 10 years.
Great. No, no, but it's no. I mean, but older.
My
and,
cousin.
We're talking, and Hannah, back me up with on this because I think you were
yeah, Hannah,
saying,
back him up.
You know, you met a couple of these older women, and they're pretty extraordinary. Very.
They are very extraordinary.
Of course. Yeah. Like, I mean, age isn't the thing. It's really just
absolutely
like,
not.
But you also have to like them too, right? Like,
I do.
You know.
They're beautiful. Are they beautiful?
They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Is there gorgeous. Other things aside from beauty that you like about them too?
Their hearts, you know.
Well, I mean, just really the intelligence is what draws me in.
Mm-hmm. They have everything. They have intelligence. They have
confidence.
Big heart. Yeah, they have a lot of confidence.
Well, confidence.
I mean, the older
key.
We get, the less fucks we give about all the garbage that we were told to fucking care
about.
Oh,
yes.
That's true. That's what I'm learning too.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are in for a fucking treat. Yeah.
Once you hit 40, you are not going to give a shit about 90% of the stuff that you give a shit about
now. It's
and you know
so
something
freeing.
Else when we were talking about like meeting people for the first time on a first date and stuff like that, like something I've noticed over the years is it's almost like dating is like puzzle pieces. Like, you know, when you're sitting there playing a puzzle and it's like, oh, this piece almost fits, but no, that's not the right one. Mm-hmm. It's like, so you can do all these protocol type dates and yeah, you can have a good first date. You can have a good second date. But something still isn't quite right. But it's like then every once in a great while you meet that person where you have amazing chemistry. And it's almost like, you know, like the guy that I've been dating, we've been together almost 9 months. And mm-hmm. it's like from the day that we met.
Nine months?
I know. It's the
That's
second,
a record for Angie.
It's the second longest relationship I've ever had in my life.
No, it is.
But the thing is like, it's one of those things. It's like from the day we met, we have had like little inside jokes and little quirks and little this and little that. And it's like, and everything from, you know, sitting there watching TV to riding in the car to our sex life to everything. It's like, it just feels like we are perfectly fit puzzle pieces, you know? So it's like, I think that like, even when you're sitting there going.
Is this penis pierced too or?
No.
Okay.
I've always found that the men that have their penis pierced is the ones that need that extra.
That's true. They need that extra little thing.
I'm going to tell you, or someone told them they needed it.
Yeah.
As a person who has had lots of experience with pierced penises.
Wait a second now.
It's just.
Yeah, I have
too. They need a little
bit. I think maybe initially they were worried that they needed something.
And someone said, oh, yeah.
That's a social construct. But really it's just like, you know.
So vagina piercing, okay. Penis piercing, yeah. No.
Yeah,
no,
but the thing is, like piercing a penis.
Yeah,
no, I liked it too.
Yeah,
I was just like it hit spots that you're like, mm-hmm. wow, I didn't know that existed. Like, it, how could it hit
it's
me in that
boost.
Way?
It's
or
such
that
an
way.
Extra boost.
Yeah, you know, and also depends on the way it's pierced. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. it's through the hole, sometimes it's right underneath the head. Mm-hmm. It's like it's always different, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like, in my experience, the couple that I've had that were pierced, they weren't working with very much to begin with, but that piercing, you know, flopping around on the top as you're having sex, you're like, whoa, even with a condom on, you're like, holy shit, that feels amazing, you know? So,
he's a younger man.
Female piercings are completely different, though. Yeah, my boyfriend's 10 years younger than me.
See, Hannah?
Yeah, I went on a date recently with someone that was 10 years younger than me, and he drunk dialed me last night. He was just like, you're so beautiful and funny and awesome, and I like you so much, even though he had a problem with it on the date. I guess he thought about it. I don't know.
He had a problem with you being beautiful?
Older.
Did he need liquid courage?
Older.
After liquid courage, yeah, he was all.
That's what it was. Yeah.
How did you feel about the call?
I was flattered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, I can already tell he wants different things. Like, he wants to have kids, and that's a no for me.
Yeah. It's good to get that out of the way.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. I'm like, but I can be your friend. Like, I'm not just saying that to be nice, because I have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
I honestly think, like, you're a good guy.
But you were, not so long ago, a little skittish about dating younger men.
I was, but now I just don't care. I don't know what clicked. I just
this
don't
is what
care.
I'm saying. Age doesn't matter.
How old are you now?
I just turned 35.
Oh, yeah, honey.
Yeah.
The next 5 years are going to be so amazing
and
for you.
Everybody I find attractive is like 27. I'm like, why are you 27? Why is it always 27?
You never know, right? Like, yeah. Maybe they'll be a little bit evolved.
Yeah, maybe.
Or just fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing how, like, you can meet somebody 10 years younger than you mm-hmm. that behaves like they are your age or older. Mm-hmm. It just has been whatever walk of life that they have been on, you know?
Right.
And then you can meet other men that are your age or older, and they behave like they're fucking 19
right.
years
exactly.
old, you know? Yeah.
Not cute.
Yeah. You know? A lot of them are mama's boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look are. At Hannah's face.
And they're looking
like, yeah.
Can you come cook for me and do this for me? I don't feel ugh. Good. It's like... You don't even...
Do you want a mom or do you
right,
want a fucking
right,
partner? Because
yeah.
you can't have both.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you should love your mother, but...
well, absolutely.
No one's arguing that.
Hi, mom. No, but yeah. what I was going to ask is where does the time go? We're already into overtime. And this is...
Are
we
in overtime already?
We're in overtime already. It goes by so fast. This is... where are we, like 7 minutes over?
Like 10.
10. Okay.
Give her a
cake. She's so sweet.
So I was going to ask you, and I'm not asking for me, but I'm asking... I don't think I've ever seen you... Where you haven't worn either sandals or open-toed shoes, Angie.
Okay,
there's a redirect.
It's a very redirect. So,
Do you have a foot fetish? Is this where we're going?
We're going there. We're going there because I don't. But I do many guys you date. Do they?
What? Wear open-toed shoes?
No. Like feet. I don't get feet. And from a clinical perspective, explain feet to me because I don't get it.
You know, I can't explain.
It's
like
to each
everyone's
their own.
Got things that they about the body that they find really
like,
arousing and special.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing, a guy could talk dirty to me and not even touch me and I could have an orgasm from it. Dirty talk is the hottest fucking thing in the world to me.
Right.
You know, and also it helps clarify a lot of things
right.
that you want to do to each other before you even get there, you know. The open toe thing, you should have been here 5 minutes before you actually walked in because we had this conversation.
We did.
When I was younger, where I grew up in a town in between Phoenix and Tucson where it was always hot. We were always swimming, you know. Well, I'd get out of the pool and I'd immediately put my feet in closed-toed shoes. And I got like this rare, horrible case of athlete's foot that lasted for years.
Okay.
So finally, they discovered melaleuca and tea tree oil and stuff like that because we tried everything, white vinegar. Everything you can think of. And it would help for a little while, and then it would
right.
just come right
nail
back.
Nail polish
you know?
Remover. All
seriously,
stuff,
seriously,
yeah.
like my toes and the fronts of my feet would come off in a shell like snakeskin. That's
okay.
how bad it would get. Yeah.
Wow.
And
well.
So, well, that was what my parents would drop us off at the public pool, and we're like, we'll be back at 5, you know, and they'd go to work. So anyways, but when
I'm
tea
glad
trio,
I brought it up.
yeah, but when tea trio came out, you know, right. it's like, so, you know, my mom, we put that on my feet, and right. I think I only used it 1, 2, 3 times maybe.
Right.
Never, ever had it happen again. But since then, you know, the doctor always said, wear right. open-toed mm. shoes.
Because I've seen Mike Buratore and other guys that have foot fetishes just, like, stare at your feet.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do have nice feet.
You do have nice feet.
Thank you. You know, but I can't believe that my feet did not, you know,
even though
I need to polish them, but
five
yeah.
Five toes,
I mean,
an arch, and a heel. I mean,
yeah.
I don't get it.
You know, and also I've got these monstrous calves that are bigger than most men's legs, you know.
Most men's.
Most men's.
Not mine.
Yes.
Anyway.
Not mine. Let's do a calf comparison.
We don't have the time.
I bet my calves can move.
We're
harder
out
than
of time.
Yeah. I
closed
our sex show.
Because I'm loving this.
I closed our sex show with the unsexiest thing ever.
Yes, athlete's foot.
Yeah, Angie. Well, hopefully we'll have some athlete's foot talking.
Well,
show.
I could tell you a really funny foot fetish story before.
Please,
we get
what,
off the
are you up for that, Ann? Can we do that?
I'm up for anything. I just want to make sure everyone else in
yes.
the room is
you guys cool with
yeah.
that. Okay.
All right, boyfriend, are you all right with that?
All right. So I was living. he'll be fine with this because I
okay.
didn't have sex with anybody.
Right.
So.
You said you weren't giving
so
him enough blowjobs the other night.
So I yeah no he deserves way more blowjobs than
okay.
I give him.
Well, that, I'll take
so
over for you.
He's so fucking amazing. He's so amazing. I'm like, where in the hell did you come from? I'm like, aww. I swear to God, I did something karmically right to get him. You know.
You became
like
Angie Crum.
Seriously, you
sex
know what?
Expert.
We went to bed at like 8:30 last night. And we didn't fall asleep until like 10 or 10:30. You know what he did? He does this little like this to my whole body.
Aww.
My whole fucking body. I'm just like, where did you come from? You know? Anyway, so let's talk about the foot thing.
Yes.
So this was before I moved to Vegas. I was still living in my hometown in Arizona. And me and some friends rented this humongous house. Well, we were surrounded by a field and a river in like 3 directions, right? So one night we dropped some acid. So we're out running around in this field and stuff like that. There's like Clydesdale out there and all these different horses and cows. And they had a pond out there that was so big that you could hear the catfish jumping. And wow. So it was so cool. So I was always like, I'm going to run out there. Well, anyways, I was running around barefoot in this field, right? Mm-hmm. And I run back to the house for, I don't know, like some water or something. And I walk in and one of my friends from high school was sitting there. And I was like, oh, hey, like, good to see you. And he had just gotten home from college and he had one of his college roommate with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there talking and somehow we got on the subject of three ways. Well, I just said something in passing and I walked back to my room to like grab some weed or something, right? Mm-hmm. Well, next thing I know, I turn around and my high school friend is standing right there and he starts kissing me. So we sit down on the bed and we start kissing. And then like I put my feet up on the bed like you know.
I'm getting a close up of
that. Yeah, close up of my toenails that need to be painted.
Right.
So I put my feet up like that. Well, his friend comes in the room, sits on the end of the bed and starts sucking my toes.
Wow.
After I ran through a field of cow shit. Like if the lights had been on, he could have seen that my feet were green. But this guy basically sucked the cow shit off of my toes.
Did he react at all or he was just so into
It was so dark that you couldn't see that my feet were green.
What about flavor?
Well, obviously he didn't notice it because he started kissing up my leg. And then I was like, I'm feeling the acid a little too much. I'm going to go run around back in the field. I was like, you guys have a good night.
Was he on acid too?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And so.
Well, he might have been after he sucked your toes.
Yeah.
But then like, you know, exactly. But then when I ran into my high school buddy, like a year later, he came in for a haircut because he was going to the, what the hell was it? Like the engagement party for the dude that sucked on my toes was getting married. Oh. So when I was like, hey, I go, do you remember that night? And so I told him the backstory that I just told you guys. He goes, you know why I'm getting this haircut? It's for his engagement party. He goes, I'm going there and telling this story tonight. You know, I was like, have fun. And then I saw the guy later and he's like, fuck you. My marriage didn't last because of you. I'm like, oh, please.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. No. I was like, no, it probably didn't last because you're an insecure piece of shit.
Yeah. Or something else, but just not you.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? What would be worse? Well, cow shit or athlete's foot to suck off someone's toe?
I can't decide. I can't decide.
I'd rather have something more natural like cow shit than something fungal.
I was going to say.
You're squirting Vicodin in your mouth like fucking Listerine.
I was going to say, I think his marriage may have failed because her feet are clean. But
she wasn't an animal lover.
Right. Angie, always a pleasure. Hannah would love to have you on every week if she could.
I would.
Tell us about the show at Club Bahia.
Oh, thank you.
In Echo Park, April 27th.
Okay, April 27th at 7 p.m. We are doing our first showcase. It's the Voodoo Comedy Show. It starts at 7 o'clock. It's over by 8:30. At 9 o'clock, music starts. It's all Latin music, you know, right. Club Bahia.
Or you can go to my show. But anyway, go ahead.
No, they're going to come to my show. Yeah. At least the first one, and then after that, pick.
No, I mean after 9 o'clock, you go to my show. There's still stuff going on.
Oh, what time does your show start?
Anyway, go ahead. Tell us about your show.
Well, our show starts at 7:00. It's over at 8:30.
Right. Well, our show starts at 9:00.
Well, our show's $10 to get in, but if you want to stay for the dancing afterwards, it's $30 for the entire night.
That's great.
Yeah.
And,
so
we have
Joey Medina headlining.
Oh, he's great.
Dave DeLuca is featuring. Tino, friend of mine from Vegas, is opening, and I'm hosting. But then 2 weeks later, we're doing it again on May 11th, and Shang is our headliner.
I love Shang.
Shang
will be
is
there.
So good. Yeah.
Love Shang. I will definitely check it out. I haven't seen Shang in a long time, but he's always great.
Yes.
Anyway, and how do people get a hold of you?
Angie Crum, K-R-U-M, or you can find me on Instagram or Twitter. It's Crum Shots, K-R-U-M Shots, all one word.
Right.
That's a joke that I tell on stage a lot.
And got that one.
I did. I laughed. Are you a comedian?
Yes, sometimes. Huh. Yes. But yeah, so it's like, and then I have a bunch of other shows coming up here, Vegas and other places, and, you know, a possible TV show that we've gone through like five different interview processes. So that might be coming up soon, too. So if that does happen, I want you guys back, have me back on here regardless. Yeah. But
I think
what we're doing tonight, we need to have a part two with both of us.
I knew the two of you would go great together.
Yeah.
Here's the thing now. Let's do it. We didn't even get to talk about what we should have talked about because you just had your sex education class.
Oh yeah, we talked about fantastic
November,
stuff today.
Yeah.
Another one in November, which I might take.
That would be wonderful. We'd love to have you.
I'm not sure what that would do for me, but
it just will educate you. It'll give you information is empowerment. So the more we know, the better, more connected we feel to the world. And then we get to, like, as soon as we can smell the bullshit. from a mile away once we know what's really true about ourselves.
That's the thing. That's the guy that was sucking on Angie's feet couldn't smell it. But
exactly.
No, but how do people get a hold of you?
Because it was his upper lip.
And tell us any. I do want to take the breath class with you and your husband or your husband.
I'll let you know.
And I want him on the show too. I'm very curious about him.
Yeah.
I love your friends. I'm curious about. But
I've got a really fun network of funny, cool people.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but how do people get a hold of you?
AnnHotter.com is my private practice. Right. Everyone deserves. SexEd.com is the educational organization that I run. So if anyone wants to take trainings or learn, even if they don't want to be sex educators, but like they just want to know how to talk about this in a you know, more appropriate way, we do trainings for that. The Ann Hotter on all the social medias.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a way that we could get connected and like what would it take for me to come on and be a sex educator?
Well, I mean,
you guys talk after the show. I
gotta
wrap this up.
Okay, that's going to be a long conversation.
Hannah Box, like,
For sure.
When you said that, you know.
And Goth Comedian on all social media. I had so much fun tonight. I hope everybody else did.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.